Good to see each of you here this morning. We appreciate your presence. Before we get into the lesson itself, I want to make a couple of comments. One already been made, but this projector is temporarily sitting on this ugly stand. It will be moved in the next few weeks and mounted on the ceiling. And other things will be done along with that, including taking out the two back pews on my left back here on this side. So if that's where you reside, you might want to be looking for a new home. But I just want to warn you ahead of time. Also, if you've noticed, Matt and Haley are not here. His daddy is being ordained, installed, appointed as an elder this morning. And he wanted to be there for that, and that's why they're not here this morning. And so at Mount Zion. So that's why Matt and Haley are not here this morning. They will be back this evening. We are glad that you're here. And we appreciate your being with us. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. It came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I'd like for us this morning to consider the Christmas story. As we think about this story, we think about Christmas, we think about the various observances of Christmas. There's a wide variety and view of opinions and understandings. There are those who believe that Christmas must be observed as a religious day, while there are those who adamantly believe that it must not be. And then there's all the way in between, and I would urge each of us to study Romans 14, which tells us to be careful in our judgment of one another and not pass judgment or condemn when we differ. However, what I want to think about this morning is fact or fiction. There probably is not any one day of the year, and especially in our society, in which there is more fiction attached to it than is the holiday of Christmas. And yet there is a basis of fact that we find that is rooted there, that is deep within it. As we think about the Christmas story, I want us to think about what was behind this birth. We just read from the book of Luke, we read how Jesus was born, and I want to think about what was behind that. Was this really the first Christmas, or was this just another birth? What was there about this that was any different than any other baby being born at that time? What is it that made it different? Well, as we think about this story, we have to go back about a year before this, and Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, had appeared to this young virgin girl who lived in this little small town up in the northern part of Galilee named Nazareth. It is supposed by many that Mary, as was oftentimes the custom of the day, was probably somewhere between the ages of 14 and 16, probably a very young girl. We don't know her age. But as we think about that, and we think about this Gabriel angel appearing to her, the angel told her that she was going to have a baby. But she said, "This baby is going to be very unique in a very special way. And so in Luke chapter 1, we read there beginning in verse 26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." As was promised by the angel, Mary became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Her husband-to-be, a man named Joseph, was greatly troubled when he found this out. Here he was engaged to this young girl, and now all of a sudden he found out that she was going to have a baby, and as you can imagine, he knew it wasn't his. And so he was very troubled, he was very upset about it, and so being a godly man, he thought the best thing to do is just put her away secretly and just let it go and not make a big deal out of it. And so he was considering this, and as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him that he was not to put her away, but rather told him that this child that Mary was carrying was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and that he was from God. And so back in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, we read how this account took place. Matthew chapter 1, beginning there in verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, and when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. And when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So we see that Caesar has ordered that all the empire be counted, that a census be taken, and each person was to go to their ancestral hometown to be counted, so that each would be numbered according to their families. So Joseph, along with his wife Mary, traveled down to Bethlehem from up in Galilee, because he was of the tribe of Judah and his family was from that town. You have to understand, they didn't have cars. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have buses. They traveled either on donkeys or they walked, for the most part, as common people did. The distance we're talking about from Nazareth down to Bethlehem would be approximately the distance from here to Dothan, Alabama. So if you were to set out on foot and walk to Dothan, that's about how far they had to go. It was not an easy journey. They'd been ordered to go, and so they went. When they arrived, it was crowded because everybody else that belonged to those families from that town also were there. There was not any room in the inn, and they couldn't find a place to stay. So they just stayed in a barn. While they were staying in this barn, the time came for Mary to give birth. So the baby Jesus, and he was named this because the angel told Joseph and Mary both that this would be his name. He was born in a barn. He was wrapped up in some rags. And he was laid in the feed trough. That's not normally how we say that. But that's exactly what happened. Here is Jesus being born in about as lowly a possible place and way as could be imagined. He was born in a barn, wrapped up in rags, and laid in the feed trough. The news was announced to some shepherds who were nearby. They were keeping watch over their sheep in the field at night. Going back to Luke chapter 2, beginning there in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, beginning there in verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased." It came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. The news was announced to these shepherds who were keeping watch over their sheep at night. Now this tells us something that brings up a little bit of fiction about Christmas. It's almost impossible that it was in December because the shepherds would not have been out in the sheep in the field at night with their sheep. Rather, during the wintertime, they brought them into the fold at night. So they were out with them in the outside, probably somewhere around August, July, somewhere in that time frame is when Jesus was actually born. But as we picture in our minds this beautiful nativity scene, we often see these at different times, and we see, man, what a beautiful picture that is. And it probably wasn't like that at all. It probably looked more like that. It's just a plain old barn is what it was. And so as we picture what it really was like, Jesus was born in a barn. He was wrapped up in these rags and he was laid in this feed trough. And there were no Christmas trees. There were no lights. There were no presents that night. There wasn't any Christmas shopping. There wasn't any Christmas rush. There wasn't any parties and there wasn't any reveling. None of that was going on this night. But even though Jesus was born in this way, and He came into this world under the most lowly of circumstances, Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He came to earth as the Messiah, to save all mankind from their sins, to be the King of Kings, to be the Lord of Lords, and His birth was announced by angels from heaven to the shepherds. Far off in a distant land, another country, there were some magi or wise men who saw a star in the sky. This is interesting if you think about it. There are several things about this part of the story that really intrigued me. First of all, who were these wise men? And what did they know about the coming Messiah? And how did they know to even be looking for the coming Messiah? Why were they interested in something that was going on over in Judea among the Jewish people, the Hebrew people? Well, the best we can figure is that probably Daniel, when he was in captivity, was the leader of the wise men, and he taught them the prophecies, and he taught them the many things of the coming Christ, and they began to, at least to some degree, understand and worship God and understand and look for the coming Messiah. And so they saw His star in the sky. Have you ever seen stars in the sky? How do you know which one's which? If you study a whole lot, you may know certain stars by name, but how would you possibly know that this was His star? It doesn't tell us. I don't know the answer to that. They began to follow the star to come to Jerusalem. You ever tried to follow a star? How do you follow a star? I couldn't tell you if I was out at night and I saw a star up in the sky. I couldn't begin to tell you if I was following it or not. But they did. And I don't understand it, but it's a fact. It's what happened. But they came to Herod in Jerusalem and they said, "We want to know about this King of the Jews, this one that is being born. He's King of the Jews. And can you tell us, where is He?" Well, Herod was troubled at this because he was king and he didn't want the Jews to have another king. And so he called the chief priest in. He said, "Can you tell us?" And so the chief priest considered where this King of the Jews was to be born. And they said, according to the prophecies in the Old Testament Scripture, He's going to be born in the town of Bethlehem. And so Herod called the wise men in and he said, "Okay, He's going to be born in Bethlehem. You can go down there. And when you find Him, how about come back and tell me about it, because I want to go and I want to worship Him also." Well, when they left Herod, and here it is strange again, you think it's bad following the star from one country to another. They began to follow the star and it stopped over the house where Jesus was. I don't know how you tell if a star is over a house. But they did. And sure enough, they found Jesus with Mary and Joseph, and they worshiped Him and they gave Him gifts. And again, this scene is not what we see pictured today, because they weren't still in the manger. Jesus was in the house. It had been some time had passed since His birth. We don't know how long. Some have said maybe even a year or so, but if it had been some period of time, we know that. And he was staying in a house. But God warned these wise men in a dream. He said, Herod really is not wanting to worship Jesus, but he wants to kill Him. And what you need to do is you need to go back another way. And so they did. They went back a different way instead of going back to tell Herod. And an angel appeared to Joseph that night in a dream and said, "Herod is going to try to kill Jesus, so you need to get up and you need to go to Egypt. Get away." And so he left that night and he went to Egypt along with Mary and the baby, Jesus. And when Herod found out that he had been tricked, he ordered that all of the baby boys in the area of Bethlehem be killed from 2 years old and younger. I'm not sure how much time lapsed between when the wise men came and when Herod issued that order, but that tells us that Jesus could have very well been a year or even close to 2 years old at the time that the wise men came. Some interesting things we learn from this. They found Jesus in a house, not in a barn, so it had been some time since His birth. Another thing is, it doesn't say there were three wise men. Usually we tell that story and we talk about the three wise men, sometimes the three kings and so on. It doesn't say they were kings. It doesn't say it was three of them. There were three gifts. But it could have been 20 wise men with three gifts. We don't know. It could have been two with three gifts. We don't know that either. It don't really matter, so I don't care one way or the other. So what does matter? What is it that this really does mean to us? I'll tell you what it means. It means that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, and that was a prophecy fulfilled. God had promised long ago that He was going to send His Son to the earth. And that prophecy was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. He was born of a virgin. Again, in fulfillment of prophecy made hundreds of years before. Not only that, He was born in the town of Bethlehem, which was prophesied hundreds of years before it took place. He was born during the time of the Roman Empire, which also had been prophesied many years before. Herod tried to kill Him, so he slaughtered all these babies under 2 years old. Again, fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus went to Egypt to live for a while. He came from Egypt, went back up to Nazareth, and we find that that was fulfillment of prophecy. He was raised in the city of Nazareth, and that was a fulfillment of prophecy. And this is just a few of them. There are many other prophecies that were made concerning the birth and the coming of Jesus that were fulfilled in all of this. And if nothing else we get out of it, we know that it is true because it had been foretold in absolute detail hundreds of years prior to the time that it took place, and every single thing that was said would happen happened exactly like God said it would happen. And so we know that it is true. But the story of Jesus and the story of Christmas is not just to be about the birth of Jesus. It's not about the little baby Jesus. The fact that Jesus was born and was a baby has no real significance in and of itself without it being the fulfillment of these prophecies. But the coming of Jesus is about His teaching. The coming of Jesus is about His adult life and the kind of life that He lived. But even more, the coming of Jesus is about His death and His resurrection. And that's the story of Jesus that we need to focus on. And we need to understand the significance of it. Because Jesus came to save us from our sins. That's what was said at His birth. At Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel said to them, talking to the angels, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is the Messiah. He is the Lord of heaven, and He is the Savior of mankind. And so this is the news of Christmas that really matters, is that Jesus came to be the Savior from sins. In Matthew 1, in verses 28 through 23, it says that when Joseph considered putting away Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in you in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, you shall call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins." And all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. And so the real story is that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And this is the significance of the coming of Jesus. So today what matters is whether or not you're following Jesus. Whether or not you are a Christian. Whether or not you belong to the Son of God. If not, you can come to Him today in faith, giving Him your heart, giving Him your life, turning away from sin, being baptized in His name, and then living for Him in eternity. This morning, if you're subject to the invitation, you need to understand that Jesus came to earth for you so that you might be in heaven with Him. If you're here this morning, you're subject to His invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?